It is Thursday, February 6th for Patreon subscribers and Friday, February 7th for the rest of yous. Thank you for joining us on Menace to Sports. My name is Zach Smith. I am your host. Got an awesome episode, awesome guest, really fired up about it. It's a guy that I have actually met through social media. It's one of the few guests that I'll have on that I haven't, didn't have a relationship with. Or that I've had on, I guess. I've had a couple. But anyways, G. Scott Sr., father of G. Scott Jr., will be with us on the show today to just talk about the recruiting process. I really want to get some parent perspective. So we're going to bring in some current college football players, former college football players, and even, you know, current recruit parents to give us perspective on what it's like on that side of things. Because I can tell you what it's like as a coach. The players can come on and tell you what it's like as a player. But I want to get the perspective of a father or mother into college football recruiting and that world. And also, I thought it was very appropriate as Brian Hartline was named the Recruiter of the Year, the 247 Sports Recruiter of the Year, and it was well-deserved. Probably the greatest receiver haul I've ever seen. Certainly at Ohio State, but I'm talking national. Ridiculous. So congrats to him. Congrats to Ohio State. And excited to get the other perspective on how. And I know how, but I'm excited to hear it from another source. Also, just want to bring or mention our 100th episode live tailgate. It's not even a tailgate. Our 100th live episode. The 100th episode is going to be live. It's going to be a game day experience down at the Point on Lane, April 11th, before the spring game. Doors will open. We'll have breakfast food, brunch food, really, and then drinks. Football, going to have some guests. I know Braxton Miller is going to come by, Curtis Grant, and a handful of other guests that I think people will want to see. Some are players, some are not, but just whatever. It's just our movement. So we're going to be there, really excited about it. And it's going to be the launch for what we're going to do in the fall, which is going to be even more exciting. So it's really, really going to be fun. Check it out. Also, new website coming next week. Going to start launching written content, articles, YouTube videos. Our video content is our studio's done, video studio. And so we're going to launch that next week also. Next week's going to be a big week for Menace to Sports. And as always, if you're interested in advertising or sponsorship or any type of partnership, reach out. Zach@menacetosports.com. Over 1.5 million downloads and listens. The number one sports platform in Ohio when it comes to audio media. And we're just getting started, man. Written and video content coming soon. Thank you for joining us. Let's get to the show.
That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man. I'm 40.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Episode 81. We are now 19 shows away from the live 100th episode, the century mark coming soon. I want to start this off with some current events, just some news and notes and some things that are going on. Just give my opinion. And the first thing I want to talk about, because it hit close to home for your boy here, Gail King, this piece of shit. Gail King, if you haven't seen it, she goes, does an interview and she starts talking about Kobe Bryant's rape accusations and just is really attacking that. Of course, after he passes away, and I was waiting for this to happen, for some piece of shit to come out and start attacking the guy about rape allegations. And before I get into my thoughts, I want to play something that I heard, not from Snoop. If you want to hear a funny one, listen to what Snoop Dogg had to say for Gail King, but I'm not going to put that on the show. I'm going to put on what 50 Cent, rapper, musician, entrepreneur, actor, 50 Cent, his response to it, because it is excellent. And if you don't follow him, he's funny. He also calls people out, but he's very intelligent and provides great perspective. And he had some great things to say. So I want to play that right now for you. And I want you to hear kind of a great stance on what Gail King did in this interview the other day.
I just didn't understand what the goal is at that point. Because you know what Kobe means to the actual culture at the same time. Like they knew what Michael Jackson meant.
But if somebody...
I just don't know what you're trying to do when the men are dead. But the system itself, the legal system, couldn't deal with it. What are you supposed to do? Publicly convict them? Is that the idea? Now, is it justice or is it revenge? at that point, right? If you're not, and you're talking to people who know him, he's a good person. Like, you are, what you want to do about it? Now he's gone. Who can defend him at this point? It's all public opinion now. So no matter which way you look at it, I don't see what the goal is. I don't see how you can. Everyone's greater in their absence than they are in their presence, right? All right, so they're gonna keep playing with people they're not here, and it's gonna f them over. Because people are gonna start to not like them in an intense way for doing that, because it's just not the right thing to do.
Is it justice or is it revenge? That's the question. I am attacked constantly on social media, and it's okay. I'm way beyond it. I'm over it. I don't even care anymore. I don't care what anyone thinks, because people that are going to actually give me a chance to, as a human, are going to realize that I'm not a bad person. I'm not who is portrayed. And people that aren't, and that's fine. But he brings up a great point. Is it revenge? Is it justice or revenge? The criminal justice system found no way, shape, or form, no evidence. These people are paid and trained. Their expertise is in identifying if a crime occurred. And they investigated it and tried to find out. And they found out that there was not enough evidence to say that he did what they said he did. But we as a society, we as people, are going to sit there and crucify Kobe Bryant as if he committed rape. Why? Why? Because we know better than people that are trained and paid to investigate if he did it? It's ridiculous. It's the same conversation that had around me. Oh, committed domestic violence. When? Where? You just think that because someone told you that? There's no evidence of that. There's no proof of that. The judicial system deemed that it didn't happen, or they couldn't prove that it did. In Kobe Bryant's case, in so many cases. So we are to rely on crucifying someone in the media, and especially after he's gone, he's dead, he can't even respond to you. That's a bitch move, Gail. And I know I've seen the outrage, but that's sick. That's sick. And I would love, if I was a petty man, I would dive into everyone's personal life that does things like that and find all the skeletons and just expose them all. And see how they like the media scrutiny. It's ridiculous. But I wanted to share that because I thought it was ridiculous. And then also because I thought 50 Cent had made some great points. And, it you know, just personal life, personal experience, it spoke to me. So I wanted to share it. How about this? Michigan Wolverines starting point guard Xavier Simpson crashes the athletic director's wife's car. How comical, how convenient, and how hypocritical, Michigan. Now, I certainly have no dog in the race, horse in the race, no dog in the fight, I guess is what the saying goes, right? But how funny. All we heard about in the offseason and right after the football season was, we can't compete because our athletic department is clean and we have to take classes and we do things right, the Michigan way. We do things the right way, the Michigan way. Your starting point guard was driving the AD's wife's car. Do you know how illegal that is? And it's not to shit on someone when they're down. I mean, this stuff goes on at every program, and it you need to keep an eye out for it. You need to, now the AD, that Jesus, I mean, that shouldn't be that hard. My God, you should be able to not give the starting point guard your wife's car. But I'm saying there is dirty shit that goes on at every program. I can tell you that for a fact everywhere. And to be honest, because of Tattoo Gate, Ohio State is probably one of the cleanest in the country because the compliance is so ridiculous. I had a conversation with someone on staff at Ohio State about their recruiting, and it's like, so people think success in recruiting comes from some form of cheating. And don't get me wrong, cheating does sometimes get success, but just because you're successful does not mean you were cheating. And like you look at what Brian Hartline did, we're going to talk about later here with G. Scott Sr. What he did with the receiver class is not because he cheated. I promise you. It's not impossible, but it's almost impossible to cheat at Ohio State because their compliance is so over the top. But anyways, it still goes on at Ohio State. I promise you. On some form or fashion, on some level, it still goes on. Just like it does at Michigan. Don't hide your head in the sand. Ridiculous. So I thought it was a little bit of karma for all the fans that were, we can't compete because Ohio State cheats and we run a clean program and take real classes in a classroom, in a table with a chair and a pencil. So we can't win a game. just really funny. But so wanted to touch on that real quick. And then the last thing I want to touch on, this is hypocrisy at its finest. And this is what's wrong with college football coaches. And I don't know this guy at all, but I've now formed my opinion. Justin Fuente, head coach, Virginia Tech, right? I guess they have not almost a dozen players in the transfer portal right now. And he announced yesterday, I think it was, that they will not be allowed to come back. If they don't find a home, they're not allowed back at Virginia Tech. So the transfer portal is a one-way portal from Virginia Tech in his mind. How convenient, Fuente, because you just interviewed at Baylor and came back. You literally entered the transfer portal of coaches and checked out Baylor to see if you wanted to transfer. Didn't work out, so you brought your happy ass back to Virginia Tech and sat down in that big seat making your millions. And now you have the audacity to tell a player that he can't do the same thing you just did in the same program, in the same year? That is ridiculous. And if I'm a recruit, if I'm anyone getting recruited by Virginia Tech should go, whoop, hit the brakes right now. I'm out elsewhere. This guy's a selfish piece of shit and doesn't give a damn about his players because he's doing the same thing they're doing and he's trying to punish them for what he did. Like, it's just the hypocrisy is outrageous. And by the way, you want to know the other caveat? Here's the other caveat about Justin Fuente. He transferred in college. He was at Oklahoma and went to Murray State. So he is literally an example of the transfer portal's process and success. He benefited from transferring, but he's going to shit on the players that are looking at doing it now. And he just tried to transfer in his professional career. It's a joke. He's a joke. I don't know him from anyone, but that is all I need to know about a human being. He's going to go try to check out the Baylor job and think about transferring, come back. And now a kid, because he hears that his coach is shopping for a new job, says, you know what? I might look elsewhere too. Now the kid's not allowed back at Virginia Tech. It's ridiculous. If I'm a recruit, and PSA, if you're a recruit, cross Virginia Tech off your list right now. And if you know someone getting recruited by him, share that story because that shows the character of who he is and how he treats his players. So sorry, I had to go on a little rant about it because that's fucking ridiculous. And he's a piece of shit for that. But anyways, I'm going to take a break, calm down, and then we're going to be right back with G. Scott Sr. up in a Menace to Sports studio. Really on the phone. But anyways, we'll be right back after this. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office or wait in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And best of all, there's no more awkwardness. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when using our special promo code MENACE. Just pay $5 shipping, and that's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code MENACE to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. You really have nothing to lose. It's free. Might as well try it out. So hit them up. Check them out. BlueChew.com. Promo code MENACE. All right, we're back on Menace to Sports. I am Zach Smith, your host, and I have a very special guest. G. Scott Sr. is on the phone, on the line. We're going to talk a little recruiting, a little Buckeyes, a little football, and really appreciate it, G, you coming on.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, man. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'm fired up. I know this. I texted you about this. But I got to commend you, man. I've been in the industry for 15 years, recruited a lot of kids. Your son is very impressive. Just not only on film as a player, but you know, as a dad, you don't really care that much about that. But just the way he carries himself, presents himself, I was blown away. So congratulations.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I gotta give it to him. He's just a kid that listen. You know, a kid that listen.
Well, you know what's funny, and I don't know if you heard it, I don't know if you listened to it, but there is a podcast, like an Ohio State podcast called Scarlet and Great, and they asked me which freshman receiver would have the best chance to play early, and I kind of talked about that no one possibly could know that because the next, you know, 7 months for a freshman are so critical that, but in my career, it was kids like your son that presented themselves and carried themselves that way. They had the best chance. Ability aside, it's the kid that's that mature that has a chance to contribute early. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, I wanted to ask you first, just kind of tell us a little bit about your family, your son, and why Ohio State? Why you're from just outside of Seattle, hours away. Why Ohio State for your family and your son?
Well, you know, initially, I think that when you hear about the Ohio State, initially, the text came in from Brian Hartline telling me where he was from. You know, I was like, and, you know, it's, I've been on record and saying this. Oh, there's no way my son's not ready to go and play for Ohio State. you know what I mean? But sounds good. I mean, you know, right. you going through the recruiting process, you know, you take all the texts or the calls and you can respectfully. But at the same time, you're thinking, you know, not Ohio State. And so, you know, if you had to kind of the communication was going on. And they wondered if we can get out there and visit, and I wasn't going to be able to come visit because I had work going on. But my son was able to get out there. He and another recruit, Sam Adams, they were able to get out there for a visit. And, you know, after the visit, my son came back and he talked about how much he loved it, talking about he loved the atmosphere and everything. And so still deep down, I'm thinking, I don't know if he's really ready for Ohio State. Now, this is in October of 2018. So, you know, it's still his junior year. So, you know, kind of going through the motions. And one day in, I believe it was at the end of November. Yeah, it was at the end of November after they had won. After they won the state championship, maybe early December, where he came into my room late at night. And he's like, Dad, I want to commit to Ohio State. And I said, you do? He says, yeah. he's like, that's where I want to be. Now, I'm like, all right. And by the way, it was always going to be his choice where he was going to play college ball. In my opinion, I was never going to make that choice. In this situation, I've been in the driver's seat his entire life. It was time for me to be in the passenger seat, and I'll just kind of, you know, help with navigation whenever he asks for it. And in this case, he was driving. He says he wants to commit there. I say, great. He commits on Christmas Day, 2018. And I think it was about January. Now, mind you, even though he has committed, I still don't think that that's the place for him to be. I think he's going to get swallowed when he gets on campus. I don't know if he's a receiver. He's ready for that type of football. Right. But neither, you know, but it's like, you know, it's like your kid trying out for that lead role in a play. You might think they have no chance, but you still are going to support your child either way.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? And so he makes a commitment. January, he's working out. He's preparing. He's getting ready. He's working out for the off season. And one night in the kitchen, I said to him, now, you know that if you're going to go to Ohio State, you can't have this plan to just go there. And if things don't work out, you jump into the transfer portal. This new transfer portal, by the way, I'm not saying for other families. It's great. It's cool. But I don't want you to get it in your mind that if all else fails, I can always get into the transfer portal. Because if you go into there with that state of mind, then the transfer portal is going to be your option, and that's what's going to end up happening.
Yeah, it's the easy way out, right?
And like I said, it does help some people. I'm not against it. I think it's great. But I'm just letting him know that just because it's an option, I don't want you to think, well, I can always transfer.
Well, you know
you
what it is?
You have to go into it. Yeah.
The portal is, like, situationally amazing for kids. But the problem is, it's also such an easy way out sometimes that it can be detrimental. I know exactly what you're saying.
Easy way out. And there's a reason why I'm telling you about this kitchen experience between me and my son. And so I say, okay, all right, well, I'm just kind of letting you know. in the conversation, January, February, March, all of a sudden, I'm starting to see him change.
Yeah.
He's changed. Like the way he's going about his workouts, he's going to yoga.
Wow.
2-3 times in the morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. He's working out twice a day. In the year 2019, in the first 6 months, he probably missed a total of about 3 days total. On his days off, when he would go work out, that would be a day to just kind of go and just run on a treadmill and not really touch the weights. He worked out every single day. So I'm watching it. Then I'm watching what he's doing on the 7-on-7 circuit, and he's just really maturing. I'm watching his grades skyrocket. Everything he's doing on Saturday nights, he is – and again, this is not me saying anything. Saturday nights, he comes in 9, 10 o'clock at night. I want to get my sleep so I can do some stuff on Sunday. He's right. Not really going out, hanging out with his buddies that much. And so then in the summertime, it was before going to the opening down in Dallas, I said, man, son, you really turned it around. You look good. You've been working out. And he says, yeah, I just remember that conversation we had in the kitchen, and it seemed like you had doubt. And I said, you know, I did, man. I didn't think you were ready for Ohio State. And after that offseason, after those 6 months, I said, now you're ready. And when I say ready, I mean ready to go learn. I'm not saying you're ready to go be a star. I'm not saying you're ready to go and play. I believe that there are certain colleges in the United States of America where there is just a different level. And I believe The Ohio State is one of those universities, and that he's going to go there and just be ready and ready to be developed and learn from the best of the best and be around the best of the best. And that was all that I said. I didn't think he was ready before. I thought he was ready in the summer of 2019.
Yeah, and that's you hit the nail on the head, boy. That is so cool to hear that entire story, because maybe it's just my experience in the industry. I don't know, but when I listened to him just in interviews and I watch how he carries himself, I would have guessed that. That's so cool to hear.
Right.
Just kind of off the heels of that, then talk to me about Brian Hartline. I mean, I know him. You and I probably know him. Well, you and I definitely know him better than the listeners, but I know how elite he is as a football coach and a person, and recruiting to him is not a sales job. It's more just build a relationship and show you what I do. And then now he's the national recruiter of the year and all this other stuff. Talk to me about that. Just Brian Hartline. What role did he play? Tell me about him.
How about this? Let's have some fun with this.
Yeah.
And I don't want to bore you or anybody listening to death, because the easy thing for me to say is, oh man, Brian Hartline's great. He's recruiter of the year. He does this. He's a nice guy.
Right.
You don't want to hear all that. Let me just tell you this. I think Brian Hartline is so good at recruiting because he really isn't a recruiter. Because
he doesn't recruit.
Let me repeat. He doesn't recruit.
And amen.
Let me repeat what I just said. Brian Hartline is good at recruiting because he doesn't recruit.
Think about that.
There is no sales pitch.
Isn't that beautiful?
I'm telling you, he's closer. The guy was an NFL player. The dude was on, you know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah.
He was a player. The dude in Ohio State, he was in a room with elite receivers where he had to go out there and claw and play and work hard and special teams. So he doesn't know that much. Like, it's like a DB or something like that. Like, oh, man, that guy right there, he looks good, but he's raw. That's Brian Hartline.
Yeah.
He's good, but in recruiting, he's raw. And I think that is the one thing that turned me on to him. I've been around the NFL for now 17 years, right? So I was able to connect with Brian Hartline on a way of – he didn't call me and tell me how great your son is. Never. He never talked about any of those things. He talked to me like, hey, Dad, how's it going? We had good conversation, he and I. his family, my family,
yeah,
where he's from, where I'm from, those kind of things. And then when he talked to my son, that's their conversation. That's whatever they do, whatever they talk about. Brian Hartline never sold. So my to clear it up about Brian Hartline, I think the dude is amazing. I think that no matter what, there is nobody that I connected with during my son's recruiting time like I did Brian Hartline.
Yep.
And I cannot leave out one name. I have to, and I make sure every single time I have to add a name.
You know what's funny? I already know who it is.
Coach Key, baby.
Keenan Bailey. Coach
Keenan Bailey. Keenan Bailey. I know everybody's recruited the year, Brian Hartline, but in the movie The Godfather, he always had the right-hand man that always kind of, the concierge, that made sure everything was straight and in line, and decisions were made that crossed the T's and dot the I's, and his name won't be in the limelight, but I want to let everybody know. It happens because of that man, Keenan Bailey. He is really a great person to have and pair up with Brian Hartline. You want to talk about technical? Oh, I can go on for days.
Oh, he is a future star, and he will be a household name one day. You know, it's this is just the epitome of Brian Hartline, Keenan Bailey, just the way they work together, both of them as human beings. I shot Hartline a text right after he won that award or whatever, and I was just like, congrats, bro. Like, you did a hell of a job. And he was like, shoot, you know, I appreciate it, whatever. But like always, it was a team effort. Keenan was ridiculous, and I just love these kids that I brought in. I'm so excited about them. And his response told me everything. I was like, yep, that's why you're successful. Because you have a group of people that do it, and it's not about recruiting, it's about relationships, and you just really love the kids you're bringing in. It's just phenomenal.
Absolutely. And so you know, it's funny. I want to go in and kind of explain a little bit about Coach Key and Keenan Bailey. So yeah, Brian Hartline is the guy that you start the relationship with, you get it going and everything. And then there's this Coach Key that kind of just like he'll text the guys and, you know, tell them technical stuff and help them out and what they need to be doing on the field. And, you know, like he's the vice principal, right? The vice principal is usually kind of the disciplinarian, telling you what you should and should not be doing.
Right.
Check this out. Is it not a coincidence? Check this out. Is it not a coincidence? I'll give an example. Jackson from down in Texas. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, this Jackson kid didn't get invited to the opening, wasn't really on the radar. Nobody really knew who he was. But then all of a sudden, the dude keeps getting better and better and better. Same thing with my son. He keeps getting better and better and better. Julian Fleming, Mookie Cooper. Why are these guys getting better during, Keenan Bailey?
I'm telling you.
Keenan Bailey is the guy that's doing that, and the relationship is being built with Brian Hartline. That's why the recruiters of the year. Anybody can go out and say, wow, this Jackson Smith from down there, oh, look at how great he is. Yeah, but how come nobody saw him before?
Right. That's the coolest thing that Keenan does in recruiting is he really starts coaching. He starts developing. You know what I mean? And it's not, he's not going to wait. And neither does Hartline, and neither did I when I was there. But it's like they start the process and kids fall in love with it because they're like, holy cow, this is like, they're helping me now and I'm not even there. Like I could go somewhere else.
Right. Right. Right.
Well, talk to me about the recruiting process, because that is something that people really don't know about. And just it's a dirty world. It is an overregulated world with the NCAA. How does it feel now that it's over for you? I mean, it's not. You have a younger son, right?
Right.
But it's over with G. Talk to me about that process. How was it? And what did you think of it?
It was easy. It was easy for our household because it was simple. Yeah. It was always going to be, and it's no secret now. Like, he was going to go to UW.
Yeah,
there's no question. It was done. We were just, our family was just waiting for the offer.
Yeah,
that's all. If the offer would have came, my son would be at University of Washington. He would not be at Ohio State. That offer never came, and so when it never came, and all of the other offers, and then the next place is like, oh, hey, Dad, I'm gonna go play at Ohio State. Done. It's over. Yeah. Like, we never wanted to be a part and wanted to do the whole process. Now, don't get me wrong. The recruiting process, you know, is interesting, right? Everybody says, oh, well, you know, the recruiting process is, you know, this and that. Well, you know, the recruiting process involves people. And one thing about people, that you can't really control people. And that goes on all ends. Yeah, you have coaches that say wrong and things that's not right. You have families that say things that are not right. It's all involved in people. You have everybody has their part in the recruiting process. So in my opinion, to clean up for you, the recruiting process is about what you make it. Whether you're the coach or whether you're the mom, the dad, the kid. If you enjoy the recruiting process, which is fine if you do. If right. you're one of those, like you like being wanted, I got to tell you, when I was in high school, I used to like being wanted. Everybody likes being wanted. I mean, absolutely. You know what I mean? You love to be wanted. Now, if that's the process, but be careful. Be careful because you can fall in love with the recruiting process because the recruiting process is going to be over. And when it's over, you got to find out if football is really for you. You got to find out if it's a business. So the recruiting process for our family was very, very easy.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen for everyone else. You know what I mean?
No.
It was easy for us.
Yeah. That's sadly, that's not common. But I know exactly what you mean. You really can find the fit or the potential couple of fits maybe that for your family and then it's easy. You go from there. So here's my next question. Talk to me about the feedback. I mean, he's been on campus for what, like almost a month now?
Well, what's five weeks? This is week five right here, but not that I'm counting.
Yeah, you know,
I got to tell you. And by the way, somebody's probably thinking like, "Well, man, what is it like when your son goes away? It's like a damn bad breakup, man. It's a bad breakup. Like, man, I got left. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, Zach, this is week five, and you know, look, man, when you talk to your child. Mm-hmm. And as a parent, now I'm speaking from a parent now. Forget the football, everybody. Let's throw the football away. Let's just talk about parents. We all, you're going to be a parent forever.
Yeah.
As long as you live. And as a parent, and your child is telling you about their structure, about their schedule, about how they're going to Bible study once, twice a week, how they are now going to church on Sundays. You get calls, you talk to them on Saturday night. I'm going to go to bed because I want to go to church on Sundays. You hear about him with his teammates. You hear about him hanging out with Cameron Babb, who sounds like an amazing kid. You know, Cameron Babb, I want to give a big shout out to him. My son loves him, loves everything that he's about and what he stands for.
Oh, one of my favorite kids I ever recruited, for sure.
You know what I mean? So when you, as a parent, you start getting those reports, you start hearing about, you know, him in the room with Trey and Jack Miller and Jackson, and they're sharing rooms together and just hearing about what they do. Man, you're really excited. He's doing phenomenal. He loves it. He loves it at that place. Like he loves the Ohio State. He loves running into, like, you know, people that he meets walking on campus, and just great people. It's a great town. What's that? It's a pizza place. It's right across from the Worthington building.
Adrian,
I always tell him, man, I said, hey, man, I said, you might have to stay away from there. But hey, but when your dad gets in town, tell him I'm going to have that cheese pizza.
Yeah, man. That's the spot for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So he loves it, man. Somebody hit him up on Twitter and kind of made a bad comment to him about, you know, about him picking the Buckeyes. And he said to him, no, sir, it's the best decision I've ever made. You know?
Yep.
You know, it is the best decision, and I'm happy with it. And I predicted it would be this way, right? And it's the reason why we were so dead set. You know, everybody, well, you know, he commits on Christmas. You got a whole year. We'll see if he stays committed. Well, yeah, loyalty is kind of a big deal with us. You know, if we give you a verbal commitment, that's our, you know, it's a handshake.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Good.
Right. Absolutely. Well, what I guess the next question I have for you is more about your family and just you. I know you're on the radio, right?
I am. Yeah. Yeah. That was crazy. You know, these people know that I used to clean cars. I was a car detailer.
Yeah.
I cleaned cars for the Seattle Seahawks for 11 years. And so when I say I've been around the NFL for 17 years, starting in 2003 is when I started cleaning their cars. I wasn't doing radio. I've only been doing radio for 5 years. But, you know, during that time, it's been an amazing opportunity to learn and understand and see what goes on behind the scenes and see how these players are developing. You know, when they started as rookies, I was there when Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, Russell Wilson. I was there when all those guys were rookies starting out. I was at the facility 4 or 5 days a week. I was around it, saw them, conversations. And so a lot of that. A lot of those conversations and a lot of the things that I learned being a fly on the wall and being in those offices when they're all hanging out and having conversations, Marshawn Lynch, Michael Bennett, Cliff Avery, all those guys, and talking to them, what I learned ultimately was hard work, right? Like, and hard work meaning, like, a lot of people say, well, if you work hard, you know, this will happen. Actually, there's somebody listening right now that's been working hard and nothing has happened.
Yep.
And you have to sometimes be prepared to work hard and nothing happening.
Yeah,
and that's a possibility.
That's it. And keep grinding. And you got to keep grinding.
Because you never know when that one day, that's your opportunity. Yep. But if you quit, it'll never happen.
Yeah.
No doubt. It's been a blessing for Zach. And then, you know, G Jr. was able to work at the Seahawks facility and work around there. It's almost like, you know, who knows? You know, one day a Larry Fitzgerald story where he works at the facility and he gets an opportunity to work out with the players and dad on the radio and in media. it kind of goes that way.
It'd be really cool. That would be really cool. So here's the question I have, and this is I don't care if anyone else wants to hear the answer. I want to. I have a 10-year-old son. And I have another son on the way. So all I think about is just, I look at my son, he's into sports, and I do anything for him, a lot like you've done. Anything he wants to do, if he wanted to be an artist, I would be the biggest art dad ever. You know what I mean? And, but what does it feel like to have your son just be successful at his passion? Like, just, he wants to be a great athlete, great student, all the ABCD. And he's achieving that and thriving. And how does that feel as a dad? It's got to feel amazing, right?
It's bittersweet.
Yeah.
And let me explain. Let me explain why. Yes, it's amazing as a dad, right? It's amazing to see this. But the one person that told me that it was going to happen and told me that my son was going to be a superstar during a time when G Jr., fourth, fifth grade, 21 missing homework assignments, getting in trouble at school, was considered a really bad kid. A lot of people were kind of giving up on him. But the one person that told me that he was going to be a superstar, you watch, he's going to grow out of that, and he's going to be an amazing young man, is not here to see what he blossomed into, and that's my dad. So as a father, absolutely love it to death, but it's bittersweet because the man that called it wasn't able to see it happen. He saw it coming. He saw a little bit after the 21 hours. And by the way, you know, if you ever meet my son and you ever run into him and you ask him, did you have 21 missing assignments in fifth grade? He had 21 missing assignments in fifth grade. Absolutely. And so, you know, my dad, his grandfather, made it to when he was in eighth grade, and that's when everything turned, because we started playing football and all stuff and turned everything around. So,
man, that is an awesome story. And he's watching it in a different spot, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man.
Well, that's awesome. I guess the last question I have for you, and I think I would be remiss not to ask this question, is, there's certainly people that listen to this show that are either recruits, wannabe recruits, or parents of a recruit. One piece of advice that you could give both parties, the kid or the parent right now, from someone that has been through it?
Okay. Be a pro. Every day that I talk to my sons, I tell them to be a pro. And what that means is, a lot of times people say, well, you don't have to worry about that. You're only this age. When you get to the pros, then you could be that way. Well, when you get to the pros, you can't just all of a sudden learn how to be a pro. And even if you're going to be really good at football, let's say you're going to be a Hall of Famer and you're going to play 12 years in the NFL. So if you stop playing in college at 22 and your 12-year NFL career, that means you're going to be 34 years old. And that means you still got 50, 60 years to be on this planet. What are you going to do and what are you going to be? Because who you are is not your money. And who you are isn't your profession. So what I mean by be a pro, act like a pro. When you go to school, be a pro. Can you go and do what those other? Nah, I can't go do that. All right. When you get ready, and one of the best ways, and this now I'm talking to the recruits right now.
Yeah.
You want to you guys want to let your parents know that you're serious about success? Here you go. Nobody successful, Bill Gates, all of the richest people in the world, Jay-Z, Drake. I'm not saying they do it themselves, and they probably have somebody else do it. But the one thing that shows success, you got to make your bed. Yeah. You got to make your bed. If you can't make your bed, then you ain't serious about success. So you got to be a pro. Pros don't have unmade beds. Now, I'm not saying you got to be perfect, but you got to be a pro. You can't be going out there doing all these kind of things. Why can't you act? Why can't you hang out here just doing a little bit of this? Why can't you go smoke? Why can't? No. I can't do that. Why? Because you got to be a pro. Yeah. So that's my advice to any and everybody. Be a pro. And what I mean by it goes into every single thing that you're doing in life, homework, tests, social, being a good son, being a good daughter. Be a pro.
That's it. That is the boy. You took the words out of my mouth. That was my speech to my players every year, right there. Be a pro. That's Michael Thomas was my greatest example. I mean, you talk about a pro of pros, ridiculous. But
I love Michael Thomas.
Oh, he and you know what it is? It's like what we just talked about. The way he is kind of you were talking about your son and how he started really, he got that Ohio State offer, wanted to commit, and then he just started grinding. That's Mike. I mean, he got that $100 million contract, and that was just motivation to work harder. It wasn't like, I've arrived. It's like, no, I got to work harder now.
Right.
Well, right. I appreciate you coming on, man. You'll definitely, when you come in town for a game, have to come check out our tailgates. Me and Braxton Miller and a bunch of players will be there, and definitely stop by. I look forward to meeting you. You definitely, I knew this would be a great interview, and it did not disappoint. So I appreciate you coming on,
all right,
man.
Well, you be around spring game?
I'll be the spring game. Before the spring game, got our 100th episode live show coming before the spring game.
Man, okay. I'm definitely gonna see you there. And man, I gotta go to that pizza spot, man. Hey, I apologize. You know, people are like, man, you always think about his food. Yeah, I love that pizza, man. Hey, I love that pizza.
Hey, that it's worth talking about. That's how good it is. Well, I appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, that's all we got for you. Really appreciate G Scott Jr. coming in, or Junior, G Scott Senior coming on the show. Really excellent, really impressive interview. The kid's impressive from what I've seen in interviews and how he carries himself, and the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, man. That's a great dude right there. So really excited to meet him and have him back on at some point for sure. And really appreciate him taking the time and coming on. So definitely check out his, I know he's on radio out in Seattle. So if you're in that area, check him out. And also follow him on social media. I think it's just G Scott Senior. So check, but you'll find him. Search him on social media. And appreciate you listening. Appreciate you tuning in. As always, if you're interested in joining the movement, helping out, being a part of this, anything at all, or interested in advertising, sponsorship, partnerships, reach out, Zach@menacetosports.com. And if you're not, well, then don't. But thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Hope you were educated, entertained, learned something, took something away from this, or just had it on and it wasn't awful. But if it was awful, if you didn't like it, as we say, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man. I'm 40.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my ass.